The holy souls in purgatory are always and everywhere around us, asking for our prayers, pleading to us, sometimes in simple ways, sometimes in more dramatic. The following five purgatory stories will greatly encourage you in your devotion to them, and each of them have insights for us to learn. If you want to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Let's get right into it. Now, all of these come from the website CatholicExorcism.org. Go and check that out. There is tons of beautiful information there on the Catholic faith. Let's begin. I was an associate pastor. The pastor told me that before I arrived, a parish in the diocese was experiencing a strange phenomenon. Every morning when the sacristan came to prepare for Mass, he found the altar set up for Mass with burning candles. He asked if anyone had prepared the altar for Mass, and no one admitted to it. The parish priest denied it, and the sacristan was the only one with access to the church in the morning, aside from the pastor. Eventually, the bishop was notified because it was happening daily without any possible explanation. It was discovered that the previous parish priest who had died had a stash of Mass intentions for the dead that were never celebrated. The bishop asked the priest in his diocese to celebrate Masses for the dead for, I think, 1 month, all the missing Masses. Once the month had passed, the altar was found normal again. From this, we learn that we have our daily responsibilities, and these mean a lot to God. First of all, because these are the ways that we help other people. So it's this love that is owed to others, to our neighbors around us. Second of all, because it is in the small things and in the responsibilities that we have of our life that we fulfill the will of God. Very few of us have incredible or extraordinary things that we have to do. It's in the little things that we love God, that we help others, that we grow in virtue and purify our own defects. As the scriptures say, if you are faithful in small matters, you will be faithful in large ones. My father had many problems and died violently when I was an infant. When I was a child, I frequently felt his presence was near, but it was not pleasant. I felt scared by it. It eventually subsided as I got older until I developed a deeper prayer life. That's when I started sensing his presence again, but this time I decided to have Masses set for him and spend more time praying for him and souls like his. One night I woke up in the middle of the night with a strong sense he was with me and that he had been suffering atoning. Then it subsided. It must have helped because I haven't felt this sort of disturbance again or since. All of us, when we are baptized, are infused with spiritual gifts. The ones that are more obvious and useful, we tend to grow and develop. But the lesser ones, the ones that don't seem as, quote, useful as others, like these spiritual gifts of discernment and of prayer, oftentimes we put aside because we don't want to be thought of as weird or as strange, or we don't want to think, well, am I crazy? Am I imagining this? This is where we have to take some risks and be open to what we are hearing. We have to do this with discernment, with the help of a spiritual director, or with a priest, or with someone that we can trust. But these small, subtle whispers and promptings from the Holy Spirit, from our guardian angel, or from the souls in purgatory are the ways that God speaks to us. He's not going to speak to us usually in these grand and magnificent ways. It would sort of disrupt our daily life. These communications are woven into the fabric of our daily life, and therefore they are subtle. They are hidden so that they don't disturb the rest of our life. This is the beauty of God. If we could only listen to these promptings, we could help so many more people and grow ourselves in the spiritual life. My grandfather was not Catholic. He was a truly good and honorable man, living his deeply held Christian beliefs and dedicated to reading his Bible daily. He died of lung cancer. Some years later, my Catholic mother had a dream in which she saw her father standing at the foot of a long white staircase. He told my mother that he needed just a little more help. My mother was skeptical of the dream, so she told no one. Soon after, she had the dream again. Though this time, when her father said he needed some help, she asked, "Why her?" He told her because she was the only one who could. At that moment, my mother caught a whiff of her father's cancer. She told us that her father's lung cancer had a particular odor. We learned of the 30-day Gregorian Masses that can be said for the deceased. She had Gregorian Masses said for her father's soul. He didn't visit anymore in a dream, so we figured it was because he didn't need to. Now, this seems to be one of the two main ways that the souls in purgatory communicate to us. One of the main ways is through very subtle coincidences or signs, such as ones that I've mentioned in a previous video. But the second way can be through dreams. Now, having dreams about random things in our day is one thing. It's our mind processing the things that we go through. But if you're having dreams about deceased loved ones, don't wait to figure out that these are the souls in purgatory trying to communicate to you. If it's a deceased loved one and you dream about them, or even if you think about them, it doesn't hurt for you to pray for them. Take these small signs that they are asking you for prayer. Pray for them. Now, if they don't need the prayer, others will benefit. And as mentioned here, the 30-day Gregorian Masses is one quite beautiful way that we can do this. Often our local parishes are not able to do this. They're not set up to do this. Usually religious communities do this. What I always do is I just search up 30-day Gregorian Masses on Google, and usually there's several hits of different religious communities. One that I know that is well known, or a few that I might suggest, are St. Michael's Abbey in California, the Marians of the Immaculate Conception, that's another option, as well as the Pious Union of St. Joseph, although there are many others. My uncle died. 3 days later, after he was buried, I was in our laundry room in the basement when I felt the presence of my uncle and heard his voice speaking to me, desperately trying to get through. I could tell he was greatly suffering. He said, "Please pray for me." I got so scared that in my fright, I said to him, "Yes, I will pray for you. Just please go away and leave me alone." Then I ran upstairs, grabbed the phone, and if I would have had the Pope's phone number, I would have called him, but since I didn't, the local archbishop had to. Amazingly, he picked up the phone right away, so I didn't have to go through a dozen people. I told him what happened to me with my uncle. Of course, he had to be careful as to what he said to me because he didn't know me, and this is what he said. In the time of St. Francis of Assisi, the Pope promulgated an indulgence that if you entered a church and prayed 6 Our Fathers, 6 Hail Marys, and 6 Glory Bees, you could release a soul from purgatory on All Souls Day. So I did. Some years later, Maria Esperanza, the Venezuelan seer, was in town. I went, and at the end of the day, she prayed over me, and the first thing she told me was, "The one you love is in heaven." And I asked her who. She said, "My uncle," and added, "Now he's praying for you." My uncle never tried to contact me again after that first time. We learn from this, and we know from other stories, that the souls in purgatory, even in purgatory, can pray for us. Now, of course, as they become more purified, their prayers become more purified and more intense and more powerful. So this is one benefit we gain from praying for them. Another is the reality of indulgences. Sometimes these are misunderstood. Now the church has simplified them. For me, the best way to understand indulgences is like scholarships to a university. How do those work? Those that have graduated from the university, they give their wealth to the university, and then that wealth is given out to future students in terms of full or partial scholarships. Indulgences work exactly the same way, almost line by line, that we take from the treasury of the church, which is the merits of Christ, the Blessed Mother, and the saints, and then these different indulgences are sort of laid out for us. So learn about them. Find one or two that you can do on a regular basis. There are many, so pick one or two that make sense for you. For instance, for me, praying the rosary as a group, and then you have gone to confession within a week or so of that indulgence. You go to Mass that day, and then you pray for the intentions of the Pope, along with having a disposition of being completely detached from any type of sin. That's actually the most difficult requirement. This is something that I'm able to do daily because of our daily or our nightly rosary group. And so it's very convenient. I have it, as I like to say, I have it set and then I forget it. I just do it every day. Several years ago, I briefly felt my father looking at me. He had passed several years beforehand. I didn't acknowledge him, nor did I share this, but it made me realize that perhaps he wanted my forgiveness. Sadly, there were abusive situations I had experienced growing up. My younger sister mentioned to me one morning that our father had been strongly in her thoughts, sitting in her backyard, quietly reflecting on things. She told me it was a startling experience. He had said to her, "This line I am standing in is very long. Many are in front of me." It occurred to me that my father was searching to find people that he had in his life to ask them for their prayers of forgiveness. I mentioned to my younger sister that he needs our prayers. Perhaps he can move to the front of the line. After listening to many of your sessions, Monsignor, I never consciously thought of the power of forgiving others. I have since forgiven my dear father, and it's been enlightening. Thank you sincerely for this prayer of forgiveness and the importance of praying for the souls in purgatory. Now, the Monsignor that they're referring to is Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. One of the things that's become clear to me is if souls are in purgatory for sins that they repented of, but that they still need to be purified from, and there still needs to be reparation and atonement, part of that happens when we forgive. Possibly it's the case that they committed certain sins against others and they repented before the Lord, but they never asked for the forgiveness of other people. So one way that we can pray for souls in purgatory, especially those in our family, those that we had relationships with, is by forgiving them. This is a way to pray for them. A very simple formula that you could use is, in the name of Jesus, I forgive, name the person, for name the things that they did against you, and forgive them from the deepest place of your heart. You may need to do this repeatedly until you're finally finished. Now, remember what Jesus says and the Our Father prayer, Father, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. So not only are you benefiting those in purgatory, but you're benefiting yourself because you're setting the standard at which you want God the Father to forgive you. Think about that for a moment. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like the video and support it and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.